Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro on this very, very depressing Monday morning here at the NovaCare Complex. This is a day for you. I don't really have a whole lot to say after that game last night. The Eagles getting pounded by the New England Patriots 38-13. The Patriots showing that they are a championship-caliber team. The Eagles a 4-7 team out of the playoffs. Not even thinking about that right now. Just a it's really been a mess of a season here. I'm willing to talk about anything you want to talk about, fans. I just want to say this, though. You know, I know what the critics are saying, and look, when you're 4-7, you got to take it. This is a bad football team right now. Bad. From every standpoint, nobody is excused from this. But, you know, there is a game in 80 hours, 81 hours from now, and the Eagles have to get ready to play football against the Seattle Seahawks. So I'd like to kind of focus on this season, and I can't really answer questions about the future. I can certainly tell you that I would expect substantial changes to be made. Very interesting stuff coming up, I'm sure, in the offseason. The statistical analysis just dreadful from yesterday. I mean, I'm really depressed just like you guys are. I know how you're feeling. Days like this, I say to myself, you know what? I say, boy, the Eagles won a lot of games here in the past, and I'm so thankful for those wins, and I would come on the air here and talk about games when the Eagles won, you know, 23-17 against a bad team, and people would say, oh, they got to be better than that to win the Super. Those are glory days, man, complaining about victories, because right now I'd take a victory over anything, and I'm here, and I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to wait to see this team turn it around and get this franchise back to glory days, but there are a lot of things that need to be done to get there. Because this team stinks right now. At 4-7, 38-13, listless performance yesterday. I am very interested to see how this Eagles team responds on Thursday night. How many players are going to come out and play with everything they have, with all their focus? Or how many people here want to be Eagles? You know? How many people here want to be Eagles? Because I just think there's so many me guys who are here for the ride. And I hope that the young players in this locker room step up and take control of the locker room. It's time. No need for these young players on this team to step, who have been waiting all year for the veterans to become leaders. There aren't any. So young guys, go out and become leaders yourselves. You were all young, you were all leaders in college. Take over the locker room. Let's lead this team to a new future. A new generation of Eagles is here. So let's get to the phones here. No Andy Reid press conference today. Let's get to Carl in D.C. Hi, Carl.
Dave, what a crappy day.
Yeah, agreed.
I have seen some embarrassing Eagles losses over my 40-some-odd years, but that was one of the worst.
What made it so bad? I mean, obviously the final score was a... Could have been a lot worse, actually.
It was, but the play of the defensive secondary, I mean, they were biting on play action when New England does not have, A, that big of a running game. Number two, you're 20 yards back from the line of scrimmage, and you're biting on play action.
Well, the defense had no clue yesterday at all.
No, they didn't. They were completely lost. I mean, you know, granted, these guys, we know the tight ends are big and everything else. But, guys, we're talking about football 101 here. I don't have an answer to it, but it was just as bad on the offense, the drop passes, the lack of concentration. You know, this is as bad of an Andy Reid team. And... you know, the media hype is all Andy's lost it. Fans were leaving in the third quarter and blah, blah, blah. I still believe in Andy Reid. I still believe in this team and that they can turn it around. But you're right. The leaders from the locker room have to stand up.
Well, there aren't any.
I can hear everybody saying, well, we got to fire Andy Reid, fire Juan. Okay, A, who would you bring in? And B, you're going to bring in somebody that's going to put in another new system. That's going to take a couple of years for everybody to learn and get with the program. So, you know, you're caught between a rock and a hard place. You've got to, unfortunately, for this year, you've got to stick with what you have. The leaders need to come out to make it work.
I'm advocating for young players to take control of the team. There are no veteran leaders on this team. Let's be honest here. You know, they're 4-7. We can't all of a sudden in game 12, a veteran leadership's not going to show up. I mean, they've long passed that. Now, Cullen Jenkins is doing the best he can, but he's one guy.
Yeah. Now, Dave, I want to throw this question out. In the 13 years, and I went back through, racked my brain and did my own little bit of research, the Eagles have signed some big name free agents over the years, but they've always built through the draft for the most part.
Yeah.
Can you remember a season where we've brought in this many free agents?
No. Look, the Eagles made a bunch of mistakes in constructing this team. From the moment when you look back at it, Carl, from the moment the 2010 season ended, overhaul the coaching staff, that's one, which didn't work. It's through 11 games, it has not worked, okay? Coaching staff is not a good mix.
No.
Okay, that's one. The draft, too early to tell on the draft. I think that Danny Watkins is going to be a very fine player.
I agree.
I think Kelsey's going to be a very fine player. I think Alex Henry's going to be a very fine kicker. He's had a nice rookie season. Jaquan Jarrett, no idea. Casey Matthews, you know, backup at this point, I don't know. Deion Lewis, he's disappeared from the whole equation.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah, he's a fourth-string halfback. Chad Hall's gets more carries than him now. Figure that one out. Whatever. But Brian Roll, I don't know. He's small. He's real small.
Yeah, he made some good plays, though, yesterday.
But he's real small. Anyway. He's real small. I mean, I think he plays with a lot of heart, a lot of effort, all that, but...
I think what gets me most is just the inconsistency. We get two wins, we lose two.
Yeah.
You know, we won big against New York with our backs against the wall, and, man, we just laid a flat egg. But it used to be when teams came to the vet or Link, they were, my God, I got to go to Philly and play the Eagles. And now the Eagles play better on the road than they do at home.
Well, they don't play very well on the road either, but I got you. They're not a good team right now. What can I say?
No. I know we're going to turn around, Dave. I don't know how, but I remember days in the 70s when this team did, you know, had 1-13. I will not get off the bandwagon because we're going through a rough stretch.
That's right. Hey, tough times, Carl. We got to stick together here.
Yep. This is time for a good, quick turnaround. Forget it. Move on.
Yep. Hey, Carl. So,
Dave.
Thanks, man.
It'll get better. Hang in there.
Oh, I'm here. I'm hanging in. I mean, thanks for the call. It's the most disappointing season that I can ever remember. The most disappointing season I can ever remember. And Seattle somehow lost to Washington yesterday, had a 17-7 lead. You know, they're not a good team either. Either. So, we're in a very tough dog days kind of situation. And just it's a bad time, bad team. Joe in Cincinnati joins us. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
That's a question that I'd rather you didn't ask me, Joe.
I know that was kind of a dumb question.
Yeah.
Sorry, it was just
it's okay.
Question.
No problem.
Hey, listen, I'm just calling in. I want to say, you know, I agree with the callers calling in. It's probably one of the worst Eagles losses ever. I think my biggest thing is that I see the talent on the team. I see a lot of players that, you know, it's kind of the Miami Heat effect where you get all these players and they can be great, but
you
they
see,
play
you know,
well
let,
together.
Let's examine that statement, though. I see a lot of talent on the team. Who on defense is a great talent?
On defense, I can name two straight off. I think Trent Cole is unbelievable. Okay. I still think he's great.
Okay.
And I hope I pronounce his name right, Babin or Babin.
Okay.
I think he's really good.
Okay.
Here's the problem.
So two out of 11.
Like you were saying with the leaders, do we have somebody like a Dawkins?
No.
Like a Douglas?
Oh, God,
who's
no.
Who's going to stand up and be the leader? I think that's problem number one. Problem number two is, and I know you'll probably dispute me on this, Dave, and I swear I'm not trying to be sour grape, but look, I love Andy Reid, okay? We've had some great times, like you were saying. You know, God, there's been years we complain about bear wins when we kill for those bear wins right now. But I just think after like 13 years, you got to start thinking this. Has he taken us as far as we can go with him? Not to insult the man, not to
Hey, Joe, it's a very valid question. And it's going to be one that the Eagles have to answer in the offseason.
You know, I'm trying to be fair, Dave. You know, I agree. I'm very grateful for what he's done with the organization. But, you know, you get to a point, it's, you know, you got to say whatever, you know, what did Einstein say? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like I said, I think we're kind of at that point right now.
Yep. Yeah. Well, look, I mean, it's hard to answer the questions about the future because I don't know. And there's still, you're very much kind of in the moment here in the NFL. The Eagles are playing Seattle very shortly. Andy is up there, the one taking all the criticism, and he knows the deal. They're 4-7. He deserves the criticism. They're not playing football, good football for Andy Reid right now. Why? That's what you got to figure out. As an organization,
right?
Jeff Lurie has to figure that out. Why?
Exactly. And like I said, I try to be fair. You know, I don't like to come in and bash anybody because I realize, you know, there's enough blame to go around. But at the end of the day, if you're the one gathering up all the X's and O's and you're the one trying to coordinate all the coordinators and you're the one trying to get the players to gel, okay, I realize, you know, some things are out of your control. I mean, you know, he can't go out there and catch for Deshaun. I get that. You know, he's got to make the catches. But the one thing I'll say, and then I'll go and let your other, you know, listeners go ahead and chime in, is that one thing I know for sure, and that is, the defense is not working. Absolutely ridiculous. Last night I saw wide open New England receivers. Wide open. I'd see two green jerseys chasing them from 50 yards behind. Okay, you could say blown coverages, but what are you drawing up? I'm not a football genius. I can't say here I'm a defensive coordinator and would know as much as Castillo or...
No, I get your point. I think we'd all agree with that. The defense was terrible.
But you know something's drastically wrong when those receivers are that wide open. And, you know, I'll let you fill in the blanks there. That right. Definitely has to be the first thing we start with.
Yep.
I appreciate you letting me call in, Dave.
Thanks,
sorry,
Joe.
I know it's calling and wanting to vent, but
nope.
I appreciate
that's
you
what,
me
hey, that's what it's all about here, Joe. Thank you very much. Let's take some more calls, 215-339-6709. I'm not going to sit here and insult your intelligence, Eagles fans. Come on here every day, answer all your questions. Nobody's hiding. This team's 4-7. I watch the same game you watch. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, the Eagles are a couple of plays away here and there, and the referee should have called the face mask penalty on Vince Young. And, you know, I think the refs stink. Yeah. And I think when you're winning, you get the calls, and when you're losing, you bitch about the calls. And I'm not here to do that. Eagles deserve to be 4-7. They've played 4-7 football this year. How do they fix it? Mark in South Carolina joins us. Hi, Mark.
Mark, how you doing?
Okay, Mark, one thing, and I appreciate you calling. And this is a rule. After a loss, and I know it's a reflex, don't ask me how I'm doing, because I'm just like you, Mark. I'm doing lousy. Lousy. Right?
I understand.
You're doing lousy today.
I ask you that, because I honestly believe we feel the same.
Yeah. I am embarrassed to be sitting here after that game yesterday. And after 11 games here. I mean, I want the Eagles to win more than anything. I'm an Eagle. Jeez.
Right.
You guys have all been waiting forever. Let's win a Super Bowl. My God. Seems like a million miles away from now. It seems like a million miles away.
My name is on you know online is South Carolina Eagles.
Oh, life. That's you. Okay.
And I mean that.
Yeah.
But the defense.
Stinks.
The secondary, I know we were on them kind of hard, and rightfully so. There's no reason for a receiver to get behind you if you're a safety, point blank. When your safety
and your cornerback peek in at a play-action fake or a Tom Brady run, I mean, are you kidding me?
And see, and that's the thing. Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Unless you're trying to compensate for your linebackers and your line. that's the only reason why I would think that you would try to cheat, you know, to get a play, to think it's a possible run play. I agree 100% that they should have stayed on their job, but that's another story altogether. The key thing, I believe, is the fact that we need to just go back to the basics. Go back.
What are the basics?
Catch the ball.
Well, but Juan talks. You hear Juan and Andy Reid every week. We're going to stick with the fundamentals. We're going to work with the fundamentals. Fundamentals, 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 fundamentals. And then they come out and they have one good game. And then they play a game like this where there is 5 yards between Nate Allen and when Wes Welker. 5 yards.
That's true. They missed a million tackles.
I mean, the tackling was abysmal.
Which is basics, which I agree with. Which, I mean, everybody knows that goes back to the coach.
Yeah.
Point blank.
Yeah.
Goes back to all the coaching. So, I mean, there's no defense for them, you know, for the actions that occurred on the field. There's no defense for that. You can't blame it on one person. It's the team as a whole.
Well, look, I don't blame coaching for DeSean Jackson dropping three passes.
No.
I don't know what's going on with DeSean. I mean, I know the contract is a big issue, but he's had a bad year.
I agree with you on that because, I mean, if I was trying to get a new contract, I believe I would be, you know, playing to the best of my ability. I think I would be catching passes, you know, if I was trying to get a new contract, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, where his head's at, I have no idea. And there's no excuse for that pass that was into the end zone that he just dropped. There's no excuse for that. If you call yourself an NFL wide receiver, a top NFL wide receiver, there's no excuse for that at all. So, but I honestly feel if we just get ourselves together, because within my heart, I'm a diehard Eagle fan. So there has to be some type of silver lining somewhere in this thing.
Well, here my silver lining is that the organization knows how to win. They do have, I do think there is some young developing talent here.
Yes.
And I think in the NFL, you can turn things around pretty quickly. We've seen examples of it all throughout the league. But right now, it's an awful mix.
And personally, I feel as though the cornerback that we got that's supposed to be so great, Asamugo or something?
Namdi Asamoah, who I still think is a very good player.
I don't know. He's
a good football player.
I have yet
player.
To see him really do anything substantial.
Well, I haven't seen anybody on defense do anything substantial.
Yeah, but he's supposed to be the poster child. He's supposed to be the one who's supposed to do everything. He's supposed to be the one who got the big contract. He's supposed to be the shutdown. Type of a defensive player.
Yeah, I don't. But you know, I got to tell you, and thanks for the call. I don't see a lot of balls going Namdi's way. It's like yesterday with Tom Brady when Asante's on the field, he's throwing at Brandon Hughes and Joselio Hansen. Why would you throw at Asante Samuel? You got plenty of weapons out there. Patriots played a very cerebral game. At a breakneck tempo. Eagles, it was the same thing. Walk up to the line of scrimmage. The defense is looking around. Not sure of what's going on. The offense, you know, drop back, throw the football. No downhill running plays. I mean, just awful. All right, let's take a little break here. We'll take some more phone calls on the other side. It's Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro, 215-339-6709. On the other side of this commercial, we might as well show you Spudcam, give you a feel for what happened before the game. I didn't feel the hype. As it turns out, the Eagles didn't have much hype. So we'll look at that, and then we'll take your phone calls the rest of the way.
Opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day, grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it, snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why? Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line. Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our postgame show presented by Rico.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Dion in Dallas joins us. Hello, Dion.
Dave, problems are unfixable.
Everything is fixable, Dion.
Well, not until next year.
Right. They're not going to, what are you going to fix this year? I think the way I want to look at the rest of this year is just learn a little bit more about players. I think you already know what you have as far as, you know, who's going to, if anybody dogs it, go to the bench and don't come off. But I'd like to see some of the younger players assert themselves. I'd like the offensive line to become a better group because I think that's a group that you build with moving forward.
Well, it's a combination of players in the scheme as well. And, you know, you would think that they would have looked at the Cowboy game or the Steelers game against New England, and they either said, look, we don't have the personnel to play it that way. But when you're sitting back in the soft zone and Brady's just picking you apart because you're rushing four guys, you know, I know they blitz occasionally, but you're going to say, okay, isn't working. Let's try to do something on the fly here.
I was stunned that they only rushed four players and that they laid back so much. I was stunned.
And it's like they don't make any adjustments to do it. They just said, okay, this is our game plan. This is what we're going to do. You know, time and time again. And I don't know if you saw the fourth down where Vince Young overthrew Brent Celek by 3 yards. But there was, I don't know who it was trailing, but he was wide open.
Well, it's interesting, Dion. Okay, let's talk about that. I agree that even on the... You're talking about the fourth down and the goal line. Clay Harbor was in the middle of the end zone standing there waving his arms.
Yeah, and every other quarterback that we play against seems to be able to...
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, because a lot of fans complain about running, passing, the play calling. In two instances where the Eagles failed in the red zone, DeSean Jackson failed to catch the pass from Vince Young. Vince Young failed to see Clay Harbor. Is it bad play calling there?
Well, the only thing I would do differently is I wouldn't put DeSean Jackson in those across the middle routes. I would put a Jason Avon or Brett Celek or somebody else in that position, because he has demonstrated time and time again that, number one, he doesn't know how to read the zone. He showed one play where he ran down 30-yard line going in, and he came across the zone. And instead of sitting down in the zone, he just kept running. And that's where he runs into those alligator arms. But I wouldn't put him in those situations because he's demonstrated time and time again. And there again, you know, we're not stupid as fans. I don't know why the coaches can't see this, but the guy will not lay out for a ball across the middle if he feels pressure. You know, he's great on the long routes. He's a great decoy. But you got to put somebody in there who's going to, you know, be able to take the hit. So at certain times, I don't fault the play calling, but it just seems like it's frickin' frack here. When the play calling is good, the players don't execute. When the play calling is bad, you know, the players aren't good enough to overcome it.
Well, I think
it's not fixable.
What I think about the play calling, offensively and defensively, is this: they have no go-to anything. They have no defining grouping of plays. They have no, you know, confidence in. Look. I mean, hey. I know that the Pittsburgh Steelers, when they get down to the 2-yard line first and goal, I'm expecting at least two of those plays are going to be smash mouth run plays, right? What do the Eagles do? They're all over the place. Defensively, they have nothing. They have no go-to, nothing. They have no scheme.
You know, when you're on a goal line, the only defense, the defense right on a goal line is at a disadvantage. And really the only way teams step up and are successful is when they crowd the middle and they know that players are just going to turn around and hand the ball off the middle. I don't know if you saw, I don't want to bring up Penn State, but when they played Ohio State, they had first and goal from the four. First and goal from the one, four plays right up the middle. And the Eagles, you know, they have enough talent. They have the shovel pass. They have McCoy on the outside. I mean, how many times have McCoy scored today? This year on the goal line or the 3 yard line by a run.
Back that play up, Ryan. See, let me. Here's what I see. We're watching this play right here, Dion. Okay, now Now here's the follow. Stop. If I'm Vince Young, throw the ball right now. Now instead he goes one step, two step, three steps, and then he throws it, and then he's out of the end zone.
Well,
throw the ball early.
Like said, Clay Harbor's coming down. You know, you can see the guys covered anyway. So, okay, if he does hold on to the ball, why
Clay
not
Harbor, yeah. Clay Harbor's right wide open in the middle of the end zone.
Why don't you go through a progression? I could throw that left-handed and get it there.
Because Vince Young had one read there and went to that read. And
that's my point.
Saw that he was open, but it took him too long to get there.
You got to, as a quarterback, understand who's going where if your first guy isn't there. I mean, that's what blows me away. That's why I say it's not fixable. It's just not fixable.
Well, I think we all recognize that this year is a lost year.
Well, even next year. I mean, you can't.
Why not?
You can't play
why can't you fix it next year?
Because your talent is not the problem.
Well, but who knows what's going to happen? You're going to change. There's going to have to be some very significant changes here, Dion.
Okay. Significant changes. That's what we need.
You think the Eagles are going to sit here and go, everything's okay? We're just going to keep everything the same. Heck
well,
no!
Well, gosh, they've done it for 7 losses.
I know, but other than, what, are you going to fire somebody in the middle of the season? I'm not firing Andy Reid. I know a lot of people are down on him, and deservedly so. Bad team right now. I think he's made some mistakes in evaluating everything around him. Coaches, players, the whole shebang.
Look, the philosophy of the West Coast offense. I think it's a great offense to be run, but I don't think since we've had Jeff Garcia or AJ Feely, I don't think we have a quarterback cerebral enough to go through the progressions and put the ball on time, where it needs to be, go through your progressions. If the first one's not there, you know where the second one is, and that happens in a split second. If you looked at Brady yesterday, every throw is leading the receiver as they're running. We had a chance to go up 14-0, and Vince Young underthrew Deshaun Jackson yet again. We don't have the quarterback, and as great as Michael Vick is, and he can hit you with his legs, he's just not cerebral enough like we need to run this offense. So that's number one. Number two, you would think Juan Castillo at the end of the day would say, look, the zone isn't working.
A wide receiver blitzing. Julian Edelman. Unbelievable. Boy, they made great. Eagles got so out coached yesterday, it's just not even funny.
And it happens all the time.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. So.
Well, Dion, thanks for calling.
You got it, man.
All right, thanks.
See ya.
Eagles fans, we applaud you for being with us today. Continue the calls, 215-339-6709. Just don't ask me how I am, because I'm lousy. Eagles in 80 hours, will be in a game in Seattle. Talk about a quick turnaround. And I know everybody wants to talk about the future, but we're all going to be in front of our televisions on Thursday night watching the game and trying to figure out a little bit more about this team that just, as I look here, Seattle, at Miami. A couple of weeks ago, I said wins, no problem. Now I don't say that. Jets at home, at Dallas, Washington. How many wins do you see left on the schedule here? Who knows? Who knows with this team? Do I have a call here, Colin? Because I haven't seen it. It hasn't appeared yet. Who is it? Hey, Paul in Cleveland. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave. Yeah, disappointing day, obviously. I think Dion stole a little of my thunder. And, you and Ike yesterday kind of broke things down nicely. It's just a myriad of follies. When we lose this bad in a lot of these games, it's everything. It's concentration. It's execution. It's both sides of the ball. The penalties. It's just, you know, something's not reaching the players.
Yeah.
And I'm like you. I was stunned to see, you know, us laying off these guys all you know, 5-10 yards back in coverage.
Ridiculous, isn't it? Playing scared against the New England Patriots. I mean, I thought the Eagles would be this daring team. I'm not saying open the game and, you know, score a touchdown and then onside kick it, but take some chances. Do something different.
The only logical explanation to me is, I mean, all week Castillo was saying, you know, we've got to disrupt the timing. We've got to disrupt the timing. You know, maybe he was trying to trick them. It's the only logical explanation to me. I mean, I just don't get it. I just saw that Edelman highlight. He was making better tackles than our safety.
Yeah, good form there, didn't he?
Anyways, yeah, and like Ike's been saying too, it's a soft defense. Even though Seattle lost, they are starting to get their running game going with Lynch, and he's a punishing runner. Like, they better bring it, or, you know, Allen and company are going to get run over by him. Just frustrated like you, and I think we've all realized it's pretty much a lost season. And just trying.
It is a lost season, but this will get fixed. And the question is, are we talking in a month, in
right.
3 months, in 3 years? I mean, are you ready,
yeah.
Eagles fans, to go through another rebuilding program, for example? Are you, you know, how do you feel like, how do you get it? How do you, we've had some pretty good years here for 13 years, and this is the worst, but my goodness, I mean, I don't want to go back to 5-11s year after year. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I'm just curious how this is going to shake down and how this does get fixed. But, you know, I'm going to keep watching and
well, thank you.
You know, see what happens. But
appreciate it.
Again for your good work and Eagles.
We're not going. Hey, thank you, man. We're not going to stop working hard. Thanks so much. You know who's coming around a little bit? Riley Cooper. Getting his chance to play. Getting down the field, a 58-yard reception yesterday. But at the end of the day, disappointing with a loss. We spoke to him in the locker room after the game.
In a situation where, you know, throughout a season that's a tough season like that, there's only so many ways that you can say, like, we're keeping our heads up. Like, eventually, it does. You're human beings. It has to wear on you.
I mean, yeah, it definitely wears on you, but I think that separates the good from the great, is being able to put that behind you and then and move forward.
You and Vince had the great deep ball early. It seemed like everything was clicking. What do you think turned the tide? Why do you think things snowballed in the opposite direction?
I have no idea. You know, I really don't know. We just weren't executing. I think the game plan going in was good. I think it was good. It's up to the players. The players got to execute. If the ball's thrown to you, you got to catch it. You know, the O-line's got to block. The defense has to play. It's a team game. But, you know, I don't know.
How tough was it that they were coming back and scoring drive after drive after drive? Did that put added pressure on you guys to have to try more points?
I mean, it didn't put added pressure on us. We just didn't execute. We don't really involve ourselves with what the defense is doing, what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong. I mean, we don't worry about that. You know, our job as an offense is to go out, score points, make plays. And, you know, I think we could have done better.
They played so many people up in the box. I mean, make it even more less of a surprise you guys didn't run more. I mean, that had a lot, play a lot into it.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Fans definitely, they were chanting, fire Andy. You don't hear that, right? I mean, you can't hear that.
Everybody heard it. The whole stadium was chanting it.
And I mean, obviously, that's your guy, right? I mean, come on now. They know that you know?
I mean, that's our head coach. I mean, he's been doing this a long time. He's obviously one of the best. You know, he's not out there playing. We are. I mean, he's not suited up. He's not in pads. We are. So, ultimately, it's players' responsibility.
Vince wasn't able to get the ball in your direction, it seemed, a lot after the early goings on. What did they switch up the coverages on you? Was there anything in particular that kept him from being able to get the ball to you?
You know, I mean, they were, you know, they were mixing it up a little bit, but nothing that we weren't expecting. They sometimes they play bump, sometimes they play off, they play, you know, two man cover six. I mean, they did basic things, but like I said a million times, we got to execute.
How tough is it that you have another game, West Coast, just 4 days from
now? Yeah. You know, I look at it as, you know, going tomorrow, see what you did right, see what you did wrong. And, you know, it's for me, it's not tough. You know, I'm excited. You know, I'll be ready to rock and roll and get after it in Seattle.
Riley, how tough is it to see the fans' frustrations mounting?
You know, we can obviously tell they're frustrated. Them chanting, them yelling at us, that's part of it, though. Just got to play our game.
In terms of your game, so far you guys have not.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, please visit the community relations page on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're enjoying a great 2011 season together. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
Papa John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
Hey Eagles fans, I'm Randall Cunningham and you're watching Eagles Live.
The Eagles season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
Hello, my name is Eva Lise, and this is my fourth season on the squad. The thing that I like most about being a Philadelphia Eagles cheerleader is the opportunities you get. I was really lucky enough last year to be on the Maxim shoot. I was selected one out of four girls in the entire NFL to do that shoot, so that was I was so honored to do that. Eagles fans are the best in the entire NFL because they're so emotional, they're so supportive, and so passionate. I've been dancing since I was in middle school. Cheerleading, though, was a little different for me. I actually tried out to be a cheerleader in my high school for football, and I didn't make it. And I ended up trying out for the basketball cheerleading squad, and I made that. So that was really exciting. Sexy to me is definitely having a muscular body, someone who is fit, that's definitely a plus right there. Last year, my shoot was phenomenal. I had so much fun, and I ended up being the cover of last year's calendar, and that was definitely something I will never forget, and I'm very, very honored to be on that cover. One of my guilty pleasures is at night, I sleep with a baby blanket. I've had this baby blanket for 23 years. My mother, Ashley, got it in her baby shower when she was pregnant, and I still sleep with it till this day. Algo que mucha gente no sabe de mí es que yo hablo español. Something that most people don't know about me is that I do speak Spanish.
All right, so it's a cheap way to keep you interested, okay? Thanks to Eva Lise, who's beautiful and fun and got to show something, guys. Let's go to New York and talk to Josh. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Dave.
What's up?
Ah, man, what a tough game. I'll tell you one of the most surprising things about last game. I don't know if you agree, but Tom Brady looked not just faster, but quicker.
Yeah.
Like, much quicker than Vince Young. I don't know if Vince Young put on a ton of weight, but last year he was really fast.
Vince Young is slow moving
his
legs.
He is a really slow quarterback.
Yep. No doubt.
Did he put on a ton of weight this offseason?
I mean, he looks... I never saw him before. He looks like... First of all,
he used to be like Vic, where a few strides and it was like 20 yards.
Yeah, he's not like that
not
anymore.
Like Michael Vic. Michael Vic is shorter, quicker strides.
Yeah, he doesn't have any sort of quickness. I would agree with that.
No, nothing. I was so shocked.
Yep.
A lot of fans, I think, were thinking a lot differently about Vince Young, about his scrambling ability.
Yep.
I mean, Brady was getting downfield much quicker. But this team looks stale.
They don't look good. What can I tell you?
No, I mean, but I think it's different. I think they look stale. I think there's the penalties. I mean, this is all coaching stuff.
You know, the weird thing is those penalties.
The
penalties are I think receivers were called for false starts twice. Avant once and Chad Hall once.
How many times did the defensive end, did Trent Cole line up off sides?
Okay, by the way, there you go. Here's another play. Edelman, a bleeping wide receiver, bringing down a quarterback.
Well, the Patriots always do this. Bill Belichick always finds these guys. Remember Brown?
Well, he used his offensive tackle, Nate Soldier, as an eligible receiver.
Right, they
several
always
times
find
yesterday.
Ways to do this, to find yeah. players to play both ways. You know, maybe not the most talented players, but players who can get it done.
Yep. See, here's the thing in the NFL. Everybody's talented. And the players who are successful are the ones who get the good coaching, who are in the right scheme, who are open to being coached well, who work hard, who take care of their bodies, who play like professionals. And right now, the Eagles are not getting that kind of all-around contribution. Coaching staff, players, everybody. You know, when you're 4-7, that's just what you are.
I mean, it's a very, very thin line.
Hey, by the way, what happened to Keenan Clayton? Wasn't Keenan Clayton going to be the big, you know, stopper on defense yesterday against the linebackers? I mean, against the tight ends? Where was
he? I wasn't thinking Keenan Clayton was going to stop the tight end.
No, I thought he would.
I mean, Rob Gronkowski. I thought the Patriots were smart. Everyone and their moms thought they would just keep going to Gronkowski for like 250 yards, and I think they changed up the game plan.
Well, sure, they saw Brandon Hughes covering Deion Branch. They saw Jose Lohansson getting destroyed by
Nate
Wes
Allen.
Walker.
I've never seen a worse play from a safety.
I have. Jared Page was terrible against the who was that?
You're going to say that was one of the worst safety games I've ever seen from both safeties.
Yeah. You mean yesterday?
Of all time.
Yesterday you're talking about?
I would want to talk about DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy.
Okay.
DeSean Jackson coming up, I don't see giving him a contract. I see realistically franchise tagging him. Would you think they could get away with doing that?
He'd be mad about
good points about how, you know, just some guys aren't mature enough to handle a 1-year deal. And it's just you got to look at the facts there, what it is.
So in other words, you would give DeSean Jackson $9.5 million next year.
It's not that. It's $7.5 million because it's not the average of the top five wide receivers last year or this year. It's the average of the top five wide receivers for the last 5 years.
Okay, so $7.5 million. You
wouldn't give him $7 million? I don't think he's worth 10. I think he's worth 7, no doubt.
I need to know where DeSean Jackson's head is. When I'm evaluating players, I'm not just evaluating what he's doing on the field.
I think there's like the play on the 5-yard line, right? Where the ball, yeah, absolutely, he should have caught it. I think it's a horrible job of designing that play and understanding your players. DeSean Jackson is a tiny wide receiver who has concussion history.
Then if that's the case, I'm not giving him $7.5 million. I don't want a receiver.
He's one of the most explosive players, and so
all you have to do is cover him hash marks out, right? That's what you're saying.
And it works.
No, it
he still gets his touches.
No, I don't want a guy like that. I want a guy who's a football player. I don't want a guy who's going to do certain things on the football field.
I mean, not every player can be Wes Welker, Dave.
And agreed. But every player is going to have. Do you know how easy it is if you? First of all, we're talking hypothetically,
faster, right?
But
down
do
the
you?
Field. You can't teach speed.
Yeah, well, he's not blown by a whole lot of people these days. Okay?
Oh yes, he is.
No,
Vince
he's not.
Young on back-to-back days. I think Michael Vick would have, at least he has the arm. I don't know if he has the accuracy. Jim. Had the arm to make those throws, and those were touchdowns.
Yeah, great. Against Antoine Molden and a bunch of nothings.
Well, that's who they're playing. That's who's in the NFL.
Hey, my point is this. If I'm paying a receiver $7.5 million, he better do everything. I'm not going to say, well, you can't
look,
throw it across the middle.
Got $10 million.
And what's he?
He's not doing everything.
Well, was that a good signing for the Jets?
I think it is. I think he's done very well.
Okay. I see
and
a Jets team as well.
LeSean McCoy, I know everyone out there is looking for LeSean McCoy to get a contract. I do not see it happening, and here's what I'll tell you. Do you think the Eagles are going to give him a top three? He's going to look for top three back money.
Okay.
Or maybe the best, you know, I think he's the best back in the league.
So why wouldn't you see the Eagles giving him that?
You think they're going to give him Chris Johnson money?
Yeah.
Backs are out after 3 to 5 years.
Okay. But their money's not huge either.
And here's another reason why they don't give him the money. Because they don't use the running back that much.
He's getting touches.
I would see them paying wide receivers because they pass the ball all the time.
No, I think they'll...
Why would they give money to a running back when they don't use them that much?
I think LeSean will get his touches. I mean, we'll get his... He will get his contract.
You're saying that he's going to get top three back money. I do not see that.
Okay. Well, we'll find out.
I see them franchise tagging him for 2 years and then seeing if he's still productive.
Well, you can't franchise tag Deshaun and LeSean.
No, you can franchise tag. LeSean is signed for next year. Deshaun is not. So you can franchise tag Deshaun next year and then drop the franchise tag in 2 years, give it to LeSean. Do that for 2 years. And
yeah, well, let me tell you. You know why I don't want to do it? Thanks for the call, Josh. I'm done with the mercenaries here. I'm done with the one-year contracts all over the place. I want guys who are going to be here for a long time. And LeSean McCoy is going to be here for a long time. Deshaun Jackson, I just don't know where his head's at. Very talented guy. Runs real fast down the field. You know. Is definitely. I mean, if I don't have Deshaun Jackson, then I worry about the replacing that speed. I value the speed. There's no question about it. But I'm not going to pay a guy. It's not even about paying a guy. I want a receiver who is going to do everything needed. Because if I know that Deshaun Jackson's not going to go across the middle, and all I have to do is cover him, hashes out, it's easy. I'm going to get up. I'm going to press him, and I'm going to put a safety over the top. I got nothing against Deshaun Jackson, and I certainly would love to see him here forever because I think he's a good player. At his best. He's not at his best right now. Okay, he is not even close to being at his best right now. And I need to evaluate football players more on everything. Okay? On everything. Not just their speed or their 40 times. Their locker room demeanor, their relationship with their teammates. How they approach the game off the field, their consistency on the field, their dedication to the game. Oh, and by the way, Jeremy Maclin's contract's coming up too in a couple years. So that's an issue. Let's take another call here. Wes in Atlanta. Hey, Wes.
Hey, Dave. I'm lousy too.
Yep.
Hey, so the caller really stirred me up. I must have called in 40 times trying to get through. I got to tell you, I'm a DJ fan. I love Deshaun. My kid walks around. My 3-year-old walks around with her number 10 jersey on every Sunday.
But unless he comes way down on what he wants, I wouldn't re-sign him. I probably wouldn't even franchise him right now. I got to say that I'm either looking to see if I'm Andy Reid, and I know my season's pretty much done. When I'm doing my GM job right now, I'm looking at where is there another AJ Green type receiver in the draft. I'm looking at
If I have the eighth pick in the draft, and I don't even know where the Eagles are going, I'm not taking a wide receiver there. There's other needs here. This defense needs an ass kicker or three.
You know, they do, but I don't think they're getting in a rookie. I think they've got to look at free agency for that. Can they pull some? Can they trade a pick and pull somebody away? Do you get a veteran leader back that's maybe not somebody who's going to come in and kick ass, but play that leadership role?
It's really hard, Wes, to come into a new locker room and be the leader. It takes a year. I mean, it takes a year, too. I mean, you'll see, you know, Cullen Jenkins, if he's back next year, I don't know. He'll be more of a leader. Namdi, who's a very quiet guy, might be more of a go-to guy. I mean,
Dave, let me ask you this, and I know you get sick of hearing his name, but I got to say, you bring back Brian Dawkins, not for his play, but because of the fact that the guy has roots here and can come in his first year, and it's like coming home and stepping in as a leader.
Yeah, it's too. It depends on what situation I'm in. If I'm in a rebuilding situation, I understand the concept of that. I hope the Eagles are not in a rebuilding situation, that they have somehow revamped, and I still think there's a chance for that to have a team that's really good next year. I mean, they're going to have an extra draft pick from the Cardinals. There's another extra draft pick coming from some other team.
Right. Right.
I mean, they got to draft a whole lot better. Eagles since 2002, since the 2002 draft, and not including the 2002 draft, they've drafted two Pro Bowl players, Sean Andrews and DeSean Jackson. And LeSean McCoy will be number three. Patriots have six on their way to seven with Gronkowski.
And that's what I'm saying. Do you give up draft picks that we're notoriously bad at using to try to get to lure somebody away from a team who's established? You don't want a receiver, but if Deshaun's going,
I'll get a receiver.
Okay with getting a true number one receiver.
Jeremy McLaughlin
and above.
I don't
think it's Jeremy. I need a guy who's like 6'2 and above, preferably somebody like 6'6 who's going to reach up and take a ball away from.
Why do they have
one of those right now?
I just think the Torrey Smiths of the world and the. Not that he's a number one, Victor Cruz's of the world. I mean, they're not, wide receivers are not that impossible to find. The Eagles have two great receivers now. They're 4-7.
They do have two great receivers. But, you know, the 4-7, I got you on the defense. And on that, I'm going back to coaching on that. I understand that guys aren't performing, but 4-7 is not guys aren't performing. 4-7 is you have a serious coaching issue. And I'm with you that I don't think anybody out there that's available is better than Andy Reid. But if Andy stays, Marty's gone. I'm going to go ahead and say Marty's gone. And I think Juan is also looking for a new job. I was actually confused why they didn't make a play for Mike Singletary in the offseason for defensive coordinator. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, listen, let me just say, answering you and BK here on the chat, I've been very critical of the coaches. I mean, come on. How can you not be critical of the coaching staff? They're 4-7. But I will just say this, when you look at the design of plays and DeSean Jackson drops a pass in the middle of the field and Vince Young throws to Brent Celek when Clay Harbor's sitting in the middle of the end zone wide open, is that the receivers? Is that the players? Is it the coaches? Is it the designs? I clearly think the defense has not taken DeJuan's coaching. There are players open all over the field. Every game. It's not working.
It's true.
And the offense has turned the ball over a million times. It's not just the players. It's the coaches, too. They all share in the responsibility.
Absolutely.
I got to go upstairs, and I'm going to walk past all these coaches and all these players, and they're all going to give me dirty looks, and I love them all, and I want to win more than anybody. But, I mean, I'm in a tough spot here, okay?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I got to say it. If they give you a dirty look, you tell them 4-7 and give them one right back.
Well, I'm not, but I'm here to win. I mean, we all try to be, we're a team here. So well, I'm going to tell you this. I'm not blaming one person. I'm blaming everybody.
And that's exactly what I'm saying. Coaches, yeah. Players, you know, everybody's to blame. So if you give them if they give you a dirty look because you're calling them out on the job that they're not doing, then you give them one right back and say 4-7. And there's nothing else that needs to be said. They should acknowledge it and get their ass back to practice.
Yeah, well, hey, thanks for the call. I mean, it's look, they want to win more than anybody, too. It's just a very, very tough spot. But the Eagles are... Look at this tackling. Are you kidding me? Brutal. Cullen Jenkins is trying to be a leader. Before the game, he's the guy who addresses the team. And after the game, he's the one that 30 members of the media are circling to get an idea of what the hell's going on here. Let's go in the locker room from last night.
And do your assignment, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who your coach is. And, you know, it's on us as players to pick it up.
Do you take it personal?
Yeah, you take it personal, you know, because you know the only way to get that turned around and to stop that from happening is if the players pick it up. So, you know, we have to take it personal.
How tough physically and mentally will it be to get, you got to get there for a 10-10-10 tomorrow, and then next thing you know, you'll be playing Seattle in 4 days. I mean, after kind of a disappointing loss, how tough is it going to be for you guys?
It's going to be big, you know, just coming off this, you know, trying to make sure we're back healthy. You know, we have some guys banged up, you know, coming into the game, and, you know, we had a couple more guys get banged up a little bit in the game. And, you know, it's just going to be biggest things, just trying to, you know, get healthy and, you know, just feel good for the game on Thursday. You know, it's a long trip. And, you know, it's something that's not an ideal situation, but, you know, you have to adjust to it and you have to find a way, you know, to get through it.
Colin, you guys were setting a tone early, especially on that first drive. You were hitting Brady a couple times there. What happened after that first drive? What changes did they make to be able to help keep him?
I don't think we still know what changes they make because, I don't know, you know, they just came out and they started – you know, adjusting on us or, you know, big guy. It seems like, you know, they went, spread it wide a little bit, you know, went to a quick pass and game on us and didn't really give us a chance to huddle, you know, and just up-tempo doing it. And, you know, Brady's good at that. He's been doing it for a while. And, you know, I think it was something that we didn't adjust well enough to.
How much did that no-huddle, when he gets into that rhythm and then he goes no-huddle, how much does that affect you guys?
Up front. Yeah, you know, like I said earlier, up front, you know, it's not too bad. And the biggest thing up front, you know, is that, you know, it can get you fatigued, you know, or, you know, they try to snap the ball before you set. But, you know, we were rotating in and out pretty well. You know, so up front, it's not that difficult. But, you know, I could imagine in the back end, it's probably a lot tougher, you know, with them trying to get coverages, trying to match up, especially, you know, when the no-huddle is, you know, spread and they're going empty and you're trying to figure out what's going on. So, you know, we have to go in and look at it, you know, but, you know, I can imagine it's probably tough on the back end, especially, you know, we had a couple guys down from the secondary. You know, you got a lot of younger guys in there. And, you know, it's just something that we just got to keep working at because, you know, if teams see we had trouble with it, you know, it's a copycat league. And, you know, I'm sure we'll probably see it again.
Obviously, excuse me, on a championship team last year, what do you think is missing here?
You know, it's just not being consistent enough. You know, we'll have times where we'll come out and, you know, we'll be on fire. We came out early in this game, you know, and we, you know, I think maybe we relaxed a little bit. Maybe, you know, we thought that, you know, it was going to be easy. I'm not sure, but, you know, we came out playing well. And then after that, I mean, just turned fast on us. And once it turned, we weren't able to, you know, get it back.
Especially with Deshaun getting back.
Sorry.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our post-game show presented by Rico.
This bounty of ice cream from our Lancaster County Dairy.
Share with the neighbors.
I did, but you keep making more.
We use only the finest wholesome ingredients. It's too good not to share.
Let's take it to the market.
What shall we call our ice cream?
Gobble, gobble.
And that's how Turkey Hill Dairy came to be. Imported from Lancaster County.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access. Redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
Welcome back. Dave Spadaro with you. Eagles Live, the name of the show. Andy Reid press conference is tomorrow, not today. So we'll be back tomorrow at 11 to hear from the head coach. The Eagles have a light practice today and a light practice tomorrow, and then a walkthrough Wednesday, and then it's off to Seattle to play the Seahawks Thursday night in Seattle. NFL Network will bring that game to you. And, of course, we'll have the live kickoff show starting at 8 o'clock on Thursday night. Our halftime show right here from the NovaCare Complex. And then our postgame report presented by Rico. Postgame show presented by Rico. Let's go to Scott in Maryland. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Dave. How's it going?
Crappy.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm starting to think that maybe it's a culture thing, Dave. You know, I see a lot of players like to play for the Eagles. And, you know, it makes me wonder why. We've never won a championship. We haven't won a Super Bowl. Why is it? Do these players want to play for the Eagles? I think it's because that, you know, they give them extra days off through the week. I don't think that Andy's making teams practice as hard as some other teams might. And I honestly think that, you know, like you said, I mean, where's that butt-kicking mentality at? That, you know, it seemed like our defense always used to have. They always used to have a butt-kicking mentality.
Well,
you know, come out there.
This is not a downhill scheme, so that's one thing. But let's go back to the original statement. I think when players sign contracts, they are always going to say, I really want to play in Philadelphia, no matter or wherever they sign their contracts. I don't put too much stock into that. I think Andy treats his players well, respects his players. I think it goes a long way that when he never criticizes them to the media, I think players appreciate that and respect that. And it served him very well. This team,
yeah, but you have
this
to
team,
make him accountable sometimes.
Yeah, and this team, well, has in the past. I mean, players have been benched and changed in the practice. You know, one thing that's a little weird to me this year, practice squad hasn't changed at all except for players who've left and signed elsewhere. I expected the practice squad to be in and out and guys coming and going and Eagles making sure they take a look at every single player out there. It's just been a weird, I don't want to say complacency, but just kind of a, here's our roster, this is what we've got, and let's go with it. And it just hasn't worked. Nothing's worked this year. It's just one of those years where you can't sustain any momentum.
Dave, I mean, I see weeks where they look incredible, but it seems like it's only against our division rivals.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like these players think if they win in the division, they're going to go to the playoffs. Like, the other games don't matter. It's bizarre. Bizarre.
It is. I mean, we actually, I think at one point here, and I think we still are, like, what, 3-1 in the division or something like that? And we were right there on the tail, you know. I mean, if we could have just won a couple other games, I mean, we could have made this a division, you know, race here where we could have took the division. But we're not standing up and we're not playing when it comes to these other games. And I don't know. I mean, it's got to be coaching. It's got to be. You see it on the field. You see, like, I mean, Nate Allen biting on that yesterday was just ridiculous on that fake handoff. I mean, you see the play over and over and over again. Like some of the commentators said, I mean, he's never going to get there to make that tackle anyway.
I think Joselio Hansen bit on it as well.
Yeah, two of them did. I mean, it was insane. And I mean, they just toyed with it. It looked ridiculous. It almost looked like a preseason game to me on defense.
Well, Tom Brady played quarterback the way I dream of Eagles quarterbacks playing. All right?
Agreed.
Someday,
but I mean, you also see him get shut down in other games too. So somebody obviously, you know, can. I mean, you can shut Brady down. He's
very,
not on
very, top. Very infrequently. You can shut everybody down in the league. Very, very infrequently. The Eagles, as much as we have criticized the Eagles' defense this year, the offense and the lack of point production has been just as disappointing. And it's a lot of it's because of the turnovers. But I expected this offense to be a spread it out. All this speed, all these weapons, how in the world can you cover LeSean McCoy, DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, Brent Celek, Jason Avant, Steve Smith? Steve Smith, you know what he's got this year? He's got 11 catches. 11 catches.
I don't know what was up with that either. I mean, it seems like, I don't know, he came in there early on and had a couple passes bounce off his hands early in the season, and the one got intercepted, and they kind of just lost confidence in him and never went back to him or something. I'm not sure, but the offense to me, I think, you know, at times stutters, but what really frustrates me is I've been an Eagles fan forever. I'm 40 years old. I've been watching Eagles since I was 6 years old.
Yeah.
And the defense, I mean, where is the defense? Where is that, you know,
I know.
You might get bunched this play, but we're going to come back and we're going to play hard and we're going to, you know, it seems like as the games go on, I don't know if it's conditioning or what, fourth quarters. I mean, even with rotating the guys, it seems like they're still not getting any pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, but if you're only, hey, thanks for the call. If you're only going to rush four players and you're going to play that soft zone behind it, teams are going to catch up to you. Painful to see this right here. And I think the Dallas Cowboys are the team to beat, clearly. I think they're the best team in the division. I think the Giants are going to struggle down the stretch. And who cares about the Redskins? Hmm? No, you don't. That's right. 4-7.
Yeah.
4-7, and the Redskins 4-7. 215-339-6709. Let's go to Atlanta and talk to Devin. Hello, Devin.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Did you really just ask me?
Oh, my God. It's killing me.
Yes, it is.
You mentioned a few seconds ago, we keep rushing four players who won't blitz. I don't understand.
Well, maybe they don't have I don't know. Maybe they don't think any of their blitzers can get there. Maybe, I don't know.
I mean, I know Juan is doing a good job. He's a hard worker. But
he's a hard worker.
We got a blitz just once in a while, and this is killing me. I'm depressed. I can't believe we're 4-7.
Well, we are.
Oh, God, we're terrible. We can still win the division, though.
No. Three games behind the Cowboys with five to go. Unless the Cowboys have this ridiculous implosion. Forget about it. I'm not looking at that anymore at all. I'm just looking at let's try to beat the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah. What do you think the problem is? I mean,
I think the problem is multiple. I don't know if I have enough time to get through all the problems. I think the problem is it's just a bad mix of everything here this year.
Yeah.
Tried to create a team out of individual parts, and it just doesn't work.
But you know what? We haven't got any breaks all year. It's like all the tip balls. We don't get any breaks.
Yeah, good teams create the breaks.
Yeah, you're right. That's true.
There's no excuse. As much as I feel your pain, there are no excuses.
That's true. So my last question as far as Andy Reid, what do you think? I mean, you think it's time for maybe a new – I don't really think Andy Reid needs to go. I think we need a new offensive play call, a new offensive coordinator.
I think everybody needs to get better. Every situation needs to get better. Coaching needs to get better. Look at Brady's just like staring down, pointing. Move down just a little bit more so I can – I've got three or four more seconds here. I can hang in the pocket and then just get open and I'll hit
you. I know. It's killing me. Okay, well, I was just calling it.
Well, I thank you for your phone call.
Thanks.
I know how you're feeling today. Thanks so much. I mean, I know how everybody's miserable. Miserable. I mean, hey, you want a silver lining? It's a short week. You know, Jose Lohanton had a really tough assignment yesterday. Go out and cover Wes Welker, who happens to lead the NFL in receptions, who's a devastating route runner, who controls the slot area maybe better than anybody in the history of the NFL. Antonio Freeman was right there. Wes Welker takes it to a different level. And Jose Lohanton had the very burdensome assignment of trying to shadow number 83. We go into the locker room from last night and talk to Jose Leo about the job he did and how tough it was.
Jose, what happened to turn things from a good start for you guys? Guys jumped out to early lead to a snowball effect where Brady's able to get hot and you guys aren't able to stop him on the field.
I don't know. Maybe, you know, he just, you know, Brady started to get things moving and he was tough to stop, you know. And game plan was pretty good, had some good plays, and I feel like, you know, they whipped us tonight.
It seemed like most teams that had success against them use a lot of man, were physical. It seemed like you guys were playing a lot of off coverages. What was the design in that? Why was going into the game the thought that that might be the best way to attack?
We tried to mix it up a little bit, and, you know, we just try to mix it up on him, and, you know, so, you know, it's man or zone. Like, he couldn't be stopped today, so.
But I feel like it's tougher when you're playing a guy like Welker, you're playing him off coverage. If he's doing those short underneath routes, it's a lot tougher to be able to keep up with him. It's a lot tougher to be able to stop him.
It's tough in the slot anyway. You know, I knew I wasn't going to be able to shut him out. You know what I mean? I mean, I won some, he won some. So it's like, you know, that's football. He's in the NFL. He has Brady, too, on his team. And Brady's putting the ball where I can't get it. And... you know, I just wanted to keep battling, and I did. I just
overall, just how disappointing is it? You know, you're coming off the high of the Giants game. You guys are feeling good coming into this game, and to have the result like this tonight. Just how tough is it overall?
Oh, it's tough. Anytime you lose, it's just tough, you know. But good thing about this week coming up is short, and we'll get right back to playing football on Thursday.
Does that help? The fact that the next game is just 4 days away.
I think it helps, and. Man, anything's possible, you know. Just going to try to win next game and try to go on to the next one and one game at a time.
Jose, I appreciate it, man. Thanks, bro.
All right, that is Jose Lohanton. Now let's get back to the telephones. Jamie in Florida joins us. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Dave. How you doing?
Did you just ask me how I'm doing?
Yep. It's common known to our Eagles fans how the next day react is going to be after a loss like that.
Yes. I feel like the game
I seen yesterday was completely a debacle of, I'd say, more of the defense more than the offense.
I mean, I'm not going to blame one side or the other. They both were not very good.
Yeah. I wouldn't, as a whole, yeah, you need to have each other's back. It's a whole team effort. You don't need one side shouldn't be better than the other side. Offense, special teams, defense should be on the same page regardless.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, when you look at that, it goes not so much to the players. You can knick-knack little things about the players of what they need to do better or what they need to do less. But when it comes down to the coaching, because the coaching is there just listening to what the coach is basically telling them what to do. Like little puppets, to like they're just getting the information and they're trying to put that on the field. Now, if the coaches don't know what they're doing. And mind you, I know this is Juan Castillo's first year as a defensive coordinator. And, you know, there's a lot of bumps they have to get over and stuff like that. But if it's not working, you know, that's it. Just ride it out for the rest of this year and next year when you got a whole good off season. I know the CBA heard it, and there was no off season this past year. But now you got little mini camps, like little bunch of whole different new stuff that you don't want to start the rebuilding process again, but can go ahead and start a new, like, defensive look under a different defensive coordinator. Because Andy Reid has pretty much held his team in check and took us to 5 NFC Championship games, and I think he should stay here.
Jamie, thank you very much for the call. It will be very interesting to see what direction the Eagles take in the offseason. But right now, I guess I just can't wait for Thursday night to get here to see what this. I really, as uninspiring as the Eagles have been, the players I'm talking about, now they're 4-7. At least they always had that thread of, hey, we can get this thing turned around, get it right. Now they're 4-7. I don't think in the locker room you can sit there and go, okay, well, all right, 4-7, we're right where we want them to be. We can still get there. So how many players show up and really, really play on Thursday night? Let's go to Brooklyn and talk to Jay. Hi, Jay.
How you doing, Dave? I know, well, that's a bad question. I know how you doing. Okay. I'm hearing a lot of Eagle fans calling in about the defense, and I'm trying to understand if they have not watched the evolution of the defense from the beginning of the early 2000s to now. The defense was a very aggressive defense, and now it's not. You don't have attacking corners. The linebackers are not the same linebackers that they were back when Jim Johnson was a coach.
Isn't it bizarre how that's exactly true? It was a downhill defense, and we all thought that's what this defense was going to be all about, right?
And also another thing is the division has changed. During those early years with Andy Reid, during those winning championship, NFC championship games, the division was a bad defense.
What's the division now?
The division to me has changed in the sense of the Giants.
Giants suck, and the Cowboys suck.
But I'm saying what I mean by that is they're not as bad as they were back then. But the division has changed as far as the defensive. The Giants have a downhill defense.
Yeah,
Dallas, as much as they suck sometimes, they want to have a downhill defense. Washington, as much as their offense sucks, they want to have a downhill defense. What is Philly's defense?
It's a react defense.
Yes. Do you think their defense is conducive for the division they play in?
I think this defense isn't conducive for anything. I mean, come on. How can the Eagles have given up 88 points in the fourth quarter of 11 games, right? And it could have been a whole lot more last night. I mean, they've been... A day after they gave up almost, 500 yards against the Patriots, it could have been 600 yards if the Patriots played hard for four quarters. I mean, I can't say the defense is conducive to anything.
I'm hearing people say they don't understand, but you have to really look and understand personnel, understand the type of defense you want to run. I've played college ball and stuff like that. I'm sure other people have too. If you actually look at what you're seeing, you actually see these differences as far as the personnel changes and how the defense runs. The offensive philosophy also. I know Andy Reid wants to spread it out, but sometimes you have to pound a rock. As much as you want to bite your tongue and say, oh, that pass right there is, 50 yards. Maybe that 10-yard run is more conducive for what we're doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Okay, I'll blame the run pass.
I'm not blaming the run pass. I'm just saying certain situations in the game.
They could exercise some more patience, yes. I would say that.
Yes, certain situations in the game dictate, you want that touchdown right away, but that 10-yard run or that 10-yard pass for that first down, I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah, instead of going for the home run. But there were just the thing that was just alarming yesterday was on offense, and according to Vince Young, the Patriots started in zone, the Eagles put together two good drives, they go to man, which is great when you've got your best cornerback out of the game, your best middle linebacker and your safety. and the Eagles still couldn't get guys open?
I think what I saw yesterday was Bill Belichick said, you know what, let's see what the Eagles have.
Let's make Vince Young throw the football into windows.
What the Eagles have. They hit him with a deep ball. Bill Belichick said, hey, first quarter, we
Tracy
still got
White. Tracy White makes an open field tackle on LeSean McCoy. Jeez.
Bill Belichick was like, hey, it's only the first quarter. We still have three quarters and still a couple minutes left in the first quarter.
Yeah.
They want these 10 points like this? Fine. We'll adjust and we'll do our thing for the rest of the three quarters. And that's what they did.
How shocking was it if the Patriots came back just bam, 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 bam?
And my it reiterates, too, as far as how the defense is set up. I mean, I understand Juan Castillo and WAP fans are angry at Juan Castillo, but you have to understand the personnel on the team is not conducive for how the fans want them to play.
Well, like I don't care about how the fans want them to play.
I'm thinking what we were talking about, which is downhill.
Yeah.
The defense is not a downhill defense. The defense is not
It's not a physically dominating defense. There's no question about it.
The cornerbacks are not going to punch you in the mouth.
Yeah, and as much as I like the defensive line, you know, they just are kind of a sack defensive line. When you're rushing only four, you can't keep going wide like Jason Babin just runs, goes wide, 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 wide all the time. You know, it's just the offenses are too smart. They take advantage of that.
They understand that Asante wants to cover. He doesn't really want to hit you. If he has to, he'll try to get in there and make something, but he doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
Well, the whole theme of the draft this year, as I recall, the word that came to me was, we've got enough flashy players. Let's go get some real hard-nosed players. And Danny Watkins looks like that's hopefully the way he's going to be. Jason Kelce, that hopefully the way he's going to be. Jaquan Jarrett, have no idea. Alex Henry, good kicker, has really had a good season. Casey Matthews, backup. Brian Roll, starter, but, you know, who knows? He's kind of small. Deion Lewis is a fourth-string running back right now.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
As far as the flip side now to the offense, do you feel this offense is dependent on a mobile quarterback?
No, it shouldn't be. There's plenty of pocket time.
There's plenty of pocket time, just in the sense of the quarterbacks that we've seen in this offense.
I think every top-notch quarterback has some mobility.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers is certainly a mobile quarterback. Tom Brady is a mobile in the pocket, slides in the pocket, very mobile. Peyton Manning, doesn't run.
Peyton Manning has very happy feet.
You want to talk
people
about, right.
about that, but he has happy feet.
No, Peyton Manning has perfect technique.
Mm-hmm.
The feet, he's always up on his toes, ready to throw the football. Sliding in the pocket, sliding away from pressure. When you say mobile, I don't think it's conducive to a running quarterback necessarily. That can only take you so far. You got to learn to throw the football in the pocket.
And that's what I'm asking. Do you think... I'm not.
Go ahead. What
are
you trying to say?
I'm just trying to say, from McNabb to Vic, I haven't seen any other quarterback really work besides those two.
I thought Jeff Garcia worked pretty nicely,
but when I said Jeff Garcia in San Francisco, I looked at him as a lesser Steve Young. He'd move around. He could get you some yards with his feet if he had to. He could move around. I'm talking more of a genuine West Coast.
Well, if the question is, do the Eagles need to move away from that kind of quarterback?
I'll say that would be a better question. Do you think?
I think that they will need to draft or add a quarterback next year.
Mm.
Michael Vick misses too many games.
I agree.
Vick is 31 or 32 years old, whatever he's going to be next year. I still think he has a lot of good football in front of him. I really want to see Michael Vick learn to slide. And don't tell me I'm not going to slide. I can't slide. Because you know what? Then like I do with my softball team, get a slip and slide, have them come out, 13-year-old girls run and slip and slide, and learn how to slide in second base.
He's got to change taking hits. He's not going to change.
I know. That's why you got to draft a quarterback high.
He's not going to change. And I know a lot of Philadelphia Eagles fans love Michael Vick and whatnot.
I do, too.
He's not going to play 16 games a year.
No, then you better have a really good, young franchise quarterback of the future behind him.
He's not.
Because when I see Andy Dalton come in and win, and I see Alex Smith win, and I don't know how far those teams are going to go, I see Joe Flacco, who I think is a very average quarterback, but he doesn't turn the ball over 1,000 times a game. I mean, this team is just insanely undisciplined with the football.
I agree. I mean, I just look at how things have changed for the Eagles throughout the course of several years. from the beginning of the 2000s to now, the later end of the 2000s for the decade. And these little things have snowballed. Defense slowly but surely changing philosophy from going downhill to more of a reactive defense instead of a aggressive defense. I still believe Andy should run the ball more than he does. Everyone agrees that. I think the passing plays and the stuff he wants to do, I think, is conducive, but he has to sometimes dial it back a little bit and say, hey, we want to control the pace of this game. We're going to have to give Shady the ball. Or we're going to have to...
You know what's interesting, though? You know what's interesting? McCoy has 198 rushing attempts. Forte has 198 rushing attempts. Turner in Atlanta has 219. So with that, that's 21 more, which is less than two per game more than LeSean McCoy.
And I understand that.
Frank Gore has 203 rushing attempts.
The question is, though, I mean, rushing attempts to rushing yards. Is Shady getting a decent average of rushing, I mean, of carries per game compared to Shady Hay getting five carries but breaking off a 60-yard run?
So
Shady breaking off a 70-yard run.
No, but the point is that looking at the numbers... Let me look at the numbers in a different way. They are the leading rush team in the NFL. The reason the Eagles, I'll give you some numbers. The reason the Eagles are 4-7, they are -9 in giveaways, takeaway giveaways. That's 15th in the NFC, worst, better only than Washington. 29th in the NFL, better only than San Diego, Indianapolis, and Washington. Think about that. -9 is...
Where are the turnovers coming from? Are they fumbles or interceptions?
18 interceptions and 7 fumbles. 18 interceptions is worst in the league, tied with Washington. 7 fumbles is like right in the middle. Takeaways, they've only had 11 picks and 5 fumble recoveries. Inside the 20, offensively, they are 24th in the league. They've scored... 22 touchdowns and 49 trips. And defensively,
exactly
again...
what you're showing right now is what I'm talking about as far as...
Defensively, they're last in the league by quite a bit here.
When I mean by rushing, I mean by carries conducive to yards. Shady may have maybe 100 yards in a game rushing.
Yeah, but his number of carries is right there with everyone else's.
What's his average carry per game?
Well, if you can help me do some math here.
Give me... All right.
He's got 198 carries in 11 games. 11 into 19 is one carry. The 8.
100 and how many?
11 into 80. So he's averaging 18 carries a game.
18 carries a game. Do you believe that's enough?
Well, Forte is averaging 18 carries a game.
How many? But
I
understand in the sense of his touches. It should be a better word. His touches. What is his?
Well, he's got 38 receptions or something too. Mm-hmm. He's averaging like before the bye week, he was like 7th in the league in average touches per game. He's had 38 receptions. So he's had 198 plus 38 is 236. 236 touches in 11 games is what, 22 touches a game? Is that terrible?
No, that's actually good.
Run more. I mean, you're talking about one or two runs more a game.
Yeah, I understand it. The philosophy, I mean, everything should be broken down simply as far as for defense, offense, and special teams. For offense, what do you want your identity to be?
I want it to be a team that doesn't turn the damn ball over every time.
And you understand that.
I mean, you want
smart football plays, but what do you want the offense to be, passing or running?
Passing.
You want them to be a passing?
Yeah, offense. I want it to be a Green Bay Packers offense. What do the Patriots run the football? They don't run the football either. Patriots don't run the football.
The Patriots don't run. If you want that kind of offense, then you need to draft a quarterback that runs that kind of offense.
Yeah, that's a valid point. You hope Michael can be that guy. Hey, thanks for the call.
I've spent enough time. I want to feel like
no,
a good time. Thank you very
good
much, Dave.
Good. So, I mean, strictly by the numbers as I look here, you want to break it down why this team's 4-7? I'll do it right now. It's not runs versus passes. It's they are... No longer the leaders in run, by the way. The New Orleans Saints lead the league in rushing offense. That's an interesting statistic. But it's very simple. Why is this team 4-7? Because they are -9 in turnovers, and because they are 24th in offense inside the 20 and 32nd in defense inside the 20. And therein lies the problem. Okay? Yesterday, the Eagles rang up 466 of the most hollow yards ever. 400 passing yards for Vince Young, big deal. He didn't play well. Of course not. 215-339-6709 is the number. Dave Spadaro ranting with you on this Monday. Eagles get a light workout in today and then another one tomorrow and then off to Seattle Wednesday for Thursday's game. Who do we have here? Zach in Orlando. Hi, Zach.
Hey, Dave. What's going on, man?
Trying to figure out the world's problems here as it relates to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure that out, too. It was a bad loss yesterday. That was really terrible.
It was a bad loss, but was it any worse than Arizona? No. Chicago? No. Buffalo? No. San Francisco? No. Giants? No. Atlanta? No. Actually, Atlanta was not a bad loss. Atlanta, we all thought, well, this team's going to learn a lot from losing that fourth quarter game. Didn't.
Nope. Didn't learn anything, but you know what I was thinking of? You can't fire Reed this year. This year, they brought in an all-new coaching staff. They brought in all new players.
He brought in the coaching staff without
training camp, nothing to learn. But at the same time, they haven't gotten better. I think Reed deserves one more year, same coaching staff. Maybe Juan Castillo needs to be replaced. They're still really young. Two offensive linemen are rookies. You got the linebackers, Jamar Chase, the second year. You know, Brian Roll, first year. They're all late picks. We got good picks this year. I mean, last year, I mean, when we had Kevin Cobb, it was a rebuilding year. And that all changed when we had Michael Vick. And I'm still looking like the Eagles are, you know, they're a young team. They have an upside.
I agree with that.
I think
they better have a boffo offseason then, man.
I think Juan Castillo is over his head. I think he needs to be replaced. But I think the rest of the coaches, you know, you can't just take Reed from one bad year and, you know, want him fired. I think that's wrong. I think he deserves one more year to get it all together. But I mean, as right now, I'm looking towards the future. The season's over, but I mean, I'm still hopeful on this Eagles team. They have a lot of talent. They just got to put it together.
I'm starting to wonder about the talent. I mean, I don't see give me the defensive talent. Where's the defensive talent?
I mean, as of right now, the line is very talented, and the rest, I mean, the cornerbacks aren't playing well. The safeties are really young. Nate Allen's second year, and he was hurt probably for half of his time playing. Jaquan Jarrett, we haven't seen what he's got. Kirk Coleman was a seventh-round pick last year. You know, they're really young back there. And I don't know even if you draft a safety. I don't think they need to. I think they just spent two second-rounders on safeties. You need to see what they develop
Then you better use Jaquan Jarrett for these last five games and find out what he's got.
Yeah, you got to find out. I think they should maybe even spend a first-rounder on a huge middle linebacker, move Jamar Chain to strong side. I like Brian Roll's weak side right now. See what they got. They got to draft some linebackers. But looking at the team, what do you think are the weaknesses? I mean, you could say safety, but they're not going to draft another high safety because they just did that.
I think all the way through the defense, I wouldn't hesitate to add another defensive end. Brandon Graham, where's he?
Yeah, he hasn't. I haven't heard anything from him the past few weeks.
I want a stud. I want studs on defense. There's no studs on this defense.
It's just hard when you draft Brandon Graham with a first-round pick last year, and now he hasn't turned out. Now you got to spend on another one. And, I mean, there are more problems. But the problems I see are because of young talent, not because, you know, there's nobody there that they tried to make better.
Look, I think there's so many issues here that I can't pinpoint one thing. The question I've been asking this question, if you had a top draft pick this year, this upcoming year, what would you draft? What would you draft? Would you draft a quarterback?
I don't know. I was going to ask the same question. I would maybe draft a quarterback. And, you know, for how long did Aaron Rodgers sit on the bench? For three, 4 years?
3 years.
3 years. So in 3 years, Michael Vick's going to be 34.
Yeah, well, you know Vince Young's not going to be here next year. Is Mike Kafka good enough to be your backup?
No, he's not. He's not going to be here. I think you could maybe draft a high quarterback and sit him for 3 years, and, you know, Vic's going to get hurt anyways. By 34, he's going to be so beaten up, we don't know where he's going to be at. And his contract, you know, I think it has a clause for the last year or two to release him, and I don't know. I mean, I would draft the quarterback. I mean, who would you want to draft? We have a first rounder, two second rounders, probably a high second rounder from Arizona.
And Tex Eagle on the chat, Dave, it's the defensive coaching, not the players. That's valid. That's a valid criticism as well. That's a valid criticism as well. I do know this. I remember years ago, a coach left the team to go do another job, and we had like a little happy hour, and he said to me, you know, and this was when the Eagles won the division and the Cowboys were struggling, you know what I learned about the NFL here? It's just all about scheme and coaching. All the players are great, and the teams that win are the teams that, you know, win the battle of the X's and O's. And if that's the case, then this coaching staff's doing a really bad job.
Because, you know, I don't know enough about football to know who's worse, the coaching staff or the players not executing. But both sides obviously have their problems. I mean, coaches can't, you know, try and teach lack of turnovers or, you know, turning the ball over. Obviously, that's something that should play a very important role in the game. The players aren't executing, and the coaches obviously aren't putting them in the position to execute because they're not executing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know who's exactly to blame, what to do about it. But, I mean, my guess is to try and take Juan Castillo out. Maybe hire Steve Spagnuolo if he gets fired from the Rams. I think he would be a great defensive coordinator.
He's a great coach. And wish him the best of luck in St. Louis.
I mean, that's what I'm looking at right now. And we're going to have a good draft. And yeah. I'm just looking forward to next season. I'm going to keep going to the Eagles Dolphins game. I'm excited for that,
even though it doesn't mean
as much. And I'm an Eagles fan for life, man.
Thanks,
so
brother.
I hope that next year we get a little better.
Hey, and listen, thanks so much. And you know, I want you all to know this: the organization knows that you all love the Eagles, even the ones who were just miserable yesterday. And that's what makes you so great, because it's tough times here, and you're not going away. You're complaining. Some teams' fans, they go away, they hide. You can't hide. You can express yourselves and wait for it to get better, because it will get better. Jason Peters, not a talkative guy, but yesterday in the locker room had a few things to say. On his way to another Pro Bowl, I think he's having a great season, left tackle for the Eagles. We got him after the game, a very tough loss and another disappointing performance from the Eagles offense.
How tough is it, you know, you guys jump out to a 10-0 lead and then sort of all of a sudden the game's just out of hand?
I mean, I don't know what happened right there. We was up 10-0. I thought everything was going well there in the first quarter, the first two drives. And our third drive, we kind of stalled. The fourth drive, we stalled. We just got to watch the film and clean up our mistakes. We kept stopping ourselves there. Every drive almost, after we scored 10 points, we started stopping ourselves.
Seems like the game plan was to go after them deep with the passing game, and that was working early. But do you feel like you guys need to run a little bit more?
I mean, we just got to execute the plays that's called. Guys is open, and we just got to execute them. No matter what's called. If we don't win, you know, that wouldn't even be a topic. So we just got to execute the plays that's called.
So you guys have some major injuries. You committed some penalties or some turnovers, like you mentioned. One of your best players not even out there in the fourth quarter. It seems like everything is kind of going wrong. How difficult is it to overcome that all with a game on Thursday and then pretty much must win from here on out anyway?
We just got to forget about it tonight. Get ready for tomorrow. We got practice tomorrow. And a short week, got to go to Seattle and get a win. Bottom line, just got to keep fighting.
Do you think it looks worse from the outside than it is on the inside when we see it?
Yeah, it's definitely, it looked bad looking in on it. But, you know, we're going to stick together and fight it out and get a fan something to cheer about, you know.
When you have games like you did recently against the Cowboys and Giants, you know, good games, and then what happened today, do you wonder where that team is on a day like today?
I mean, it was out there on the field. Like I said, if we execute the plays, it could easily be the opposite score. So we just got to execute our plays. We got in the red zone a couple times and then score. So we just got to execute our plays when they call.
Does it affect you guys personally inside when you're standing there on the sideline and you hear the crowd very vocally shouting, you know, fire Andy? I mean, it got really loud at one point.
No, that don't bother me. I'm going to go out and play hard for Andy, play in and play out. He brought me here, and I'm going to play hard for him the rest of the season.
And your teammates were able to shut that out really easily, though?
Yeah, I don't even pay no attention for it.
I'm
mean, why do you think this team's been so inconsistent, though? I mean, you talk about not executing today, but, I mean, some days you guys look unstoppable, you know, just – and then other days.
I don't know. We just got to go back. I got to go back, look at the film, because I'm just, you know, blocking the end. I really don't know what's going on down the field or nothing like that until I watch the film. So I just got to look at the film tomorrow, clean it up, short week, get ready for Seattle.
How tough physically is it to go through this practice tomorrow, practice Tuesday, fly 6 hours, and then go play a game in 4 days?
I mean, it's going to be rough, but it ain't nothing we ain't done before. So we just got to fight it out, get mentally ready, and get a win against Seattle.
Do you feel like someone will need to be a very positive and uplifting force for Deshaun this week to keep him up and make sure he's still, you know, focused in it?
Oh, Deshaun a pro. I mean, he going to come back. He didn't been through this before. He didn't been benched before, not even played. So, you know, he a professional. He going to come back and be ready for Seattle.
Every night, 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why? Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line. Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority. All things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Papa John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
We are back. Dave Spadaro with you, Eagles Live, the name of the show. We've got Eagles Nightly tonight at 7 o'clock. Eagles on the practice field later in the afternoon, and then open locker room at 4:30. So we'll get you the freshest, the latest, the most up-to-date news on Eagles Nightly tonight at 7 o'clock. DeAndre in California. What's up, dude? Yellow.
Yes. Dave, I've been listening to the show. And I know you're saying that we can't blame it all on one person. I completely agree with that. But I really want to get your take on the defensive coordinator and how you really feel like he's done so far throughout the whole season with everything that he's been dealt.
I think he's been a very tough spot. I think that he's got to match up wits with, you know, offensive coordinators who've been doing it for 15 years. And I don't see that the Eagles' defense has bought into the scheme, to be honest with you. There's too many gaps. There's not enough intensity. You know, I think it's been very tough.
Do you honestly think that Andy Reid would have selected somebody else if they had known that they were going to have the personnel that they ended up getting after the lockout ended?
One more time?
Do you honestly think that Andy Reid would have selected a different defensive coordinator if they had have had any kind of idea that they would have ended up with the defensive personnel that they ended up with?
That's hypothetical. I don't know. I think that he was convinced that Juan's work ethic, his dedication to the job, would make up for lack of experience. And, I mean, I can't say after 11 games if that's been the case.
Okay, yeah, because in my mind, I honestly see it as there's a bunch. He has a scheme that would generally work. I think, like you said, he did convince Andy Reid that everything that he put together looked nice on paper. But knowing that we got Nnamdi, knowing that we got Rogers Cromartie, there's no way that these guys should be beat. But Nnamdi and Rogers Cromartie,
they play zone, so.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Why would you pay Nnamdi, bring Nnamdi in to play a zone?
Yep.
Like, this guy is known to take away one receiver, so why not just let him take away that one receiver? Victor Cruz makes Nnamdi look silly. And who is Victor Cruz?
Victor Cruz is a pretty good player. I'm not gonna show him a lack of respect, but I mean, I think Nnamdi is a fantastic cornerback when he's used properly. Yeah. I can't say that he's been used the way I expected him to be used, whether that's properly or improperly. I don't know. I can tell you this. You took him out of the lineup yesterday. You see how much it hurt the Eagles because Brandon Hughes got killed.
I don't want to disrespect Victor Cruz at all. He's playing very well this year. But to make Nnamdi look as foolish as he has on those two deep bombs, or was it three now, it's unheard of. And, I mean, Nnamdi really should just be on his island.
What three bombs has Nnamdi given up?
Well, no, against the Giants. The three touchdowns that Victor Cruz has scored against the Giants, against the Eagles. The one where Nnamdi missed the tackle.
Yeah.
The other one where the two where he caught the ball in the end zone against Nnamdi.
Yeah, I mean, Nnamdi was right there. Nnamdi was right there. He just needs to play the ball better.
Right. And then my other thing was about the whole DeSean Jackson comment when we were saying that we shouldn't pay a lot of money for somebody who can't do everything.
Please get that
shot. Well, isn't that kind of the same thing that we're doing with Asante Samuel? Because he can't do everything on the football field either.
Yeah.
And so I honestly think that there's a lot of personnel problems with contracts. The whole offseason, regular offseason, the Eagles will be fine. The fans just should calm down, really. Let Andy Reid do his job. Give him a whole offseason. I don't know if Juan Castillo is the right guy for the defense, but
I don't have a problem with the fans being PO'd about this.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously you're going to be mad. Nobody wants to go through a losing season. But if you look at the teams that are succeeding right now, there's a commonality from their roster this year to the roster last year. The Eagles brought in a lot of new faces, a lot of new parts to the team, and just didn't have the time to gel. And that's it. Now it's panic mode, and they're falling apart. I honestly think that next year is going to be head and shoulders above where this year is.
Well, it will all depend on – thanks for the call. It will all depend on how they treat the offseason, the moves they make in the offseason. It all looked very good on paper, going out and adding all these free agents. It hasn't worked out that way. I'm looking at some statistics here. Did you know, this is actually not a surprising statistic. The Eagles, well, that can't be right. Okay, wait. Eagles are 21st in the league, giving up points. They are 27th in the league in net punt average. Not good. They are 17th in the league on third down efficiency on defense. That's not good. First downs per game, they are 16th in the league. But percentage interception, 16th in the league. That's not good. 23rd in the league in passing average. Jeez Louise. Total yards per game, they're 22nd in the league on defense. Gross punts, they're 28th in the league. Net punts, 28th in the league. Percentage of interceptions, they're tied for 30th in the league offensively. Punt return average, they're 29th in the league. Kickoff return average, they're 26th in the league. What do you got? Duke in Doylestown. Hi, Duke.
Hey, David. How you been? You know what?
Thank you. Don't ask me.
Let's start over with that. Listen, you know I'm a blind loyalist. Every ounce of blood that I have is not red, it's green. And certainly this season's killing me. I'm not going to look through rose-colored glasses. I'm not going to talk about running the table and possibly winning a tiebreaker with the Cowboys, anything
good
like that.
Thank you.
These final five games, I want to see who wants to be here. And of those players that want to be here, who really fit what we want to do, whether it's this coaching staff or whether it's next coaching staff? And I'll give you one name out there, which, look, he's not a huge difference maker, but if you're going to rotate on the defensive line, other than Colin Jenkins, the other guy that I see busting it every play and occasionally making a play as well is Derek Landry.
Yeah, but he also had two bad penalties yesterday. I mean, he's a plugger. I think Mike Patterson busted every play, yeah. And I think Trent Cole busted every play, and I think Babin does. I mean, I think there's something there. What they haven't gotten is Darrell Tapp stepping up his game production-wise. They haven't gotten Brandon Graham coming in, stepping up his game. Jaquay Parker doesn't make plays.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no Dwight Freeney here. There's no, Jared Allen here. Yeah. There's not an all-around dominating player down in, down out.
To that point, a couple quick things. The season has, totally gotten away when you're rooting every game now for the Arizona Cardinals to lose.
To lose, you get a higher draft pick.
Your second-round pick.
Yeah. Although I wanted them to win yesterday.
Now, you know what? I can't say that because I'm just looking for that as high of a second-rounder as we can get. And yeah. If there's going to be any off-season that is going to be as critical, to the future, at least 2 to 3 year direction of this team, it's going to be this offseason. And I'm not calling for Andy's firing or anything like that. But there are decisions that have to be made with coaching.
Sure,
there are a ton of players that have to be made. A ton of decisions have to be made with players. What I would love to see, and I don't want you to respond, well, they don't grow on trees. But when I see difference makers like DeMarcus Ware. Not a number one or number two pick in the first round, by the way. He was in the teens or 20s. When I see Brian Urlacher or Lance Briggs, there aren't that many of them, but they're not the first and second and third picks in the first round of the draft. Look, I don't want us to lose five in a row for a lot of different reasons, but let's be blunt. We're probably going to wind up, the 10th or 12th pick in the first, the 10th or 12th pick in the second. Arizona is going to be somewhere in the teens. We have an extra third from Seattle. If you can't make hay with what could be five picks potentially in the first about 80 to 85 picks, then you know what? I'd scrap the whole thing, including personnel, player development, college player development. I mean, this has a real good chance to be, on paper, an excellent offseason. But the offseason starts Thursday night. Because, if you don't want to play for the Eagles, that's going to show on tape, and someone else may not give you a crack. So these guys are auditioning for their careers, whether it is with the Eagles. Remember, that's two ways. We're going to have to want them back as well.
Sure.
But these guys, I think most of them, the professionals of the group, they're going to bust it. My biggest fear, David, is New Year's Day, where the crowd that does show up to some, at least in some numbers, that's going to be lubed up from the night before.
Yeah,
I could anticipate that day being as ugly, if not uglier, than anything we've probably witnessed in the last 20 years. And I don't mean nasty and fights and all that. Let's face it. No one's going to lose their personal seat license over one bad season. But,
I know what you mean.
The chants yesterday were one thing. I've got a feeling they're going to be a lot more coordinated. And the goofballs on what station I'm talking about by the coordination as well. This could go down as an all-time ugly year when everyone was expecting so much from us. But bottom line, David,
Duke, you have to be being in the organization and being here. I completely get what you're saying, yeah. And we all have to be big boys here, and we all have to have thick skins here, and you got to be tough through the good times. You got to be tough through the bad times,
David. I have in my will and last testament, and
you're going to leave me something
apart from you. I'm to be buried.
Will you leave me something
in my Jerome Brown jersey? So nothing's going to shake my love for this team. But I'm going to end it with this: I hope the front office, I hope the powers that be, don't mistake our love and loyalty for this team for having the ability to not react to it.
Sure.
You made the comment about at least we still show up. I don't want front office to read our still showing up on New Year's Day.
Of course.
If we're 5-10.
Of course.
For not making any changes.
Of
so,
course.
David, I'll end it there and listen. I mean,
they all, but Duke, the idea, the way
it's not going to happen. So you know what?
Listen,
my focus is on every game. Play your guts out, and I'm already in all season.
The idea that this there's anybody in here saying, "Oh, it's okay, the fans are still with them." It's the goal is one goal, and that's to win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And everybody's hurting. Everybody's hurting. That's and true. I know, yes, we're pissed too. We're not sitting here booing at each other. And chanting for this guy or that guy.